So the epistle for the Sunday within the octave of Christmas is taken from Galatians chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a servant, an heir also through God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was far advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple by fastings and prayers, serving night and day. Now she at the same hour, coming in, confessed to the Lord and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. Please be seated. Sorry, one announcement that I forgot to make. The sisters are also going to give a presentation down in the basement after Mass to try to explain a little bit about their work. It's a PowerPoint presentation. It's geared more toward the adults, but certainly we can have the children down there as long as they can be quiet and to listen to that. But I think it also would help us to understand more of the important apostolate that our sisters do perform and do assist the priest in many different ways and capacities. So I think it would be very good. Hopefully you have that opportunity to spend that to watch their presentation. And then also the sisters would be willing to answer any questions that you have about their work, their apostolate, or even in ways that we can help to support them, not only through our prayers, but then also monetarily too, to help their work that they're doing. So please do take advantage of that opportunity after Mass. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this Sunday Mass that we have, in the octave of Christmas, we find ourselves seeing St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary bringing the child Jesus to the temple. So they present him to the temple. They offer their gifts to God. And we do know that they offered what was considered kind of the poor gifts to Almighty God. And so also they meet the holy man Simeon. And Simeon, he obviously has spent his time waiting for our Lord to come. That he wanted to hold the Savior of mankind in his arms before then he could be dismissed from this world. It's something that the religious that we pray in Compline each night, the Nunc Dimittis, now, O Lord, you can dismiss thy servant in peace. And so for Simeon, he awaited the Messiah to come. Now, as we mentioned, especially with the time period of Advent, we were anxiously awaiting the coming of the Christ child. You know, for us, we anxiously await for him to come spiritually into our souls. We prepare a place for him through our time period of Advent, the sacrifices, the penances, the additional things that we try to do for God to try to have a worthy abode for our Lord. But for someone like Simeon, he awaited to actually see our Lord come. And so that's for him. He waited for that time before being dismissed. That he could hold then the Savior of mankind in his arms. He continues with his Nunc Dimittis, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. So it's in reference to our Lord being prepared. And we see that obviously in Advent with St. John the Baptist. that through his preaching, through his example, he tried to prepare the people to accept the Messiah for when he came. And so he mentions of how he's been prepared before all the face of all the people of mankind, that this Messiah is here to come. And he concludes his short little prayer of saying, "A light to the revelation of the Gentiles, the glory of the people Israel." So again, this idea and this sense of our Lord being this light, dispelling the darkness, coming in the middle of the night, this light to the world. And that's why his prophecy, when he talks about our Lord, the prophecy about our Lord, and that's where he says that he is a sign of contradiction to the world. Yes, he's a light to the world, being a model for the world to follow. But yet, as he continues and says that he will be for the rise and the fall of many. I mean, certainly we know that our Lord is the rise for many, that we follow his commandments, we follow his example. And by doing so, therefore, God willing, that we will rise to heaven. Well, then when we think about our Lord being for the fall of many, well, that is because they obstinately refuse the Messiah. We certainly see that with the Jewish people at that time. We see that in the last gospel, as I mentioned last Sunday, just this whole sense of his own people knew him not. They rejected him. And they reject that light. And by rejecting that light, well then yes, you set yourself up for a fall. And so that is where then Simeon, he mentions this prophecy about our Lord. That he is a sign of contradiction. And in some ways we see ourselves as a sign of contradiction to the world when we live our Catholic faith. Because of things that we don't do, and also because of things that we do, that we will be a sign of contradiction to this world around us. But then he continues on and mentions the second prophecy about the Blessed Virgin Mary. "Thy own soul a sword shall pierce." We think of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. I thought it was fitting also with our society sisters that are visiting, since Our Lady of Sorrows or Our Lady Compassion is one of the patronesses they have of their order. And one contemplation that we can make from that is just as I mentioned of the support that they are to the priest. I had a greater appreciation after I was able to preach a retreat in Browerville at the novitiate for the sisters. I mean, in some ways we know the important apostolate that they do for the society itself. But gaining a greater appreciation for the life that they live. And just as we know that Our Lady was faithful at the foot of the cross, that the Archbishop's idea of having religious sisters being faithful at the foot of the altar, and therefore that is why then they take Our Lady of Compassion, Our Lady of Sorrows as a patroness for them. But you can also see how the Church gives us this understanding. It almost seems a little out of place, you could say, with the joyous time period of Christmas, that all of a sudden that the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph are hit with these two prophecies, and one in reference our Lord being for the rise and the fall of many, but then when we look at also what Our Lady would have to suffer, that it seems strange that as we contemplate and think about the coming of the Christ child into this world, that the Sunday within the octave of Christmas, that we're also considering the sorrows, the sufferings that the Holy Family would endure. But I think it also helps us to understand that, yes, a light has come to dispel the darkness. The child is born unto us. But that we will also have sometimes sorrows and sufferings in our own life. That this whole life for us is a mixture of joy and suffering. And from that, it helps us to understand clearly why our Lord came into this world. When we consider the Christ child coming, that he came, yes, to dispel the darkness, to give us an example, but he came to redeem mankind. He came for the redemption of us. And so that is something that even in this joyful time period that we cannot lose sight of why our Lord came, of what he brings to us. And then therefore you see the ultimate plan of Almighty God. When you see this plan that God had for mankind, and that is why the promise of the Redeemer came at the fall of Adam and Eve, that a Messiah would be sent, that a Savior would come into this world, but it wouldn't be without sorrow and sufferings, and that our Lord would have to suffer his passion in order to get to the resurrection. But then you also see the plan of God for the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she would be this Mother of God, and therefore that is why then he gave her this opportunity and this chance for her to give her fiat to the plan of redemption, and that she would be immaculately conceived in order to be the Mother of God. But then also through her sufferings and her union with our Lord Jesus Christ, that she gained the title of the co-redemptrix, her resignation to divine providence, but as I say, her faithfulness at the foot of the cross, of watching her son suffer these things because she knew it was the plan of God, that it was a necessity for mankind to be redeemed. And so, yes, it's a help for us to consider this even in the Christmas season. That as just as we've gotten into this Christmas season, we move forward. Of understanding this, yes, this mixture of joy and sufferings. And how Our Lady, when she gave her fiat, she knew what her son would suffer. She knew what she would also have to suffer. And so she was faithful to her son from the very beginning, this presentation in the temple, where obviously she probably brought her son in to hand over to Simeon so he could hold our Lord. But then at the very end of our Lord's life of being taken down from the cross, again, he would be placed in the arms of his mother. And that depiction of the Pietà, of her holding her son again, but holding him now as, in a sense, as he's lifeless, but that he had accomplished the plan of God. And so it helps us to understand for ourselves why sometimes we will have to have our sufferings in life too, of the difficulties that we will have. We will have our joys, we will have our blessings, certainly. But God will also ask from us sometimes of the difficulties and the struggles in life. That even though in this reflection of this Christmas season we do have this sorrow, it gives us an answer for why, because of our love of God. Our willingness to, yes, to accept divine providence also. Because a lot of times you have people that ask the question, why is there suffering? Why do innocent people suffer even? Well, the answer is right here. It is very clear for us to see that. But that is the strength of, God willing, our Catholic faith that we have. But for the world, they don't have that to back themselves up. And so, yes, they can question God, they can wonder what happened, why it happened. But through our Catholic faith, it strengthens us to see that it even sees it during this Christmas season. This mixture that will happen through life. That God willing, through this mixture of the joy and sorrows of life, that will lead us to our eternal glory, our eternal happiness, Because again, we come back to the sense and the idea that this life is a stepping stone to the next. We are wayfarers, we are pilgrims in this life. To try to live our life in order to get to the next. So let us take this opportunity to think about these things. As I say, to contemplate the answer that we have from our Catholic faith, that we accept the joys, the sufferings, because we love God. And that we want to express that love of God through our lives. And yes, maybe it will be God asks from us the sacrifice of our life and the religious calling. That we will be willing to do that joyfully to be able to save our soul. To be able to give back to God for what he has given to us. And so let us take this opportunity to pray to Our Lady of Sorrows to help us in this upcoming year. As I mentioned, tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. We have the opportunity for the Holy Hour, again, to start the year correctly. To help us to see that. And so as I say, to pray to Our Lady and ask for that help during this upcoming year. That when our Lord does come again, that he will find us today as he found Simeon and dismiss us to our eternal reward. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.